The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
The Plummer Ranch was about half our ride east of Petersville. Real big outfit, too. Maybe, 50 square miles grazing land and all. The main ranch house just off the road was built to size. You know, 2 stories tall with giant big windows face down. I remember hearing folks tell how Ned Plummer had to send all the way up to Chicago to get glass big enough for those windows. There was a couple of lamps burning somewhere on the first floor. You could see a little lights spilling through the draperies. And the rest of the place was dark. And we left our horses in the yard, Doc and I. And he grabbed his satchel with the medical instruments, and we walked up to the carved mahogany door, the front door.
Just a minute. Yes? Doc Early.
Evening.
Just what can I do for you, Doctor?
Well, Cal said that Ms. Plummer, that Ms. Quincy, your wife, that she was hurt somehow.
Oh, I see. Well, it's nothing serious, just a scratch. My gun went off accidentally. Bullet grazed her shoulder. But Cora's perfectly all right now. Matter of fact, I think she's already gone to bed.
Where is it,
Oliver? Sounds to me like she's still up.
Well, I guess I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Oliver?
It's a doctor, dear, and...
My name's Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett?
That's right. That's right, Mr. Quincy.
Well, I suppose you might as well come in, Doctor. Mr. Ponsett?
How are you?
This way. I told him it was only a scratch, dear. But as long as Dr. Early rode way out here, I suppose he might as well have a look at you. Just be on safe side.
Hello, Cora.
Britt. Why, what are you doing in Petersville? When did you get into town?
This afternoon. Didn't Cal tell you?
Well, no.
It must have slipped his mind.
Good evening, Cora. Let me see here.
Now, Doc, you shouldn't be troubling over me. I'm all right, really.
Well, of course you are, my dear. Of course you are. Bullet barely grazed your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid the good doctor doesn't approve of my bandage.
No. It's perfectly satisfactory. At least it appears to be. I'd like to take it off, though, make certain there's no danger of infection. You mind stepping in the other room, Cora?
Go ahead, my dear. Go ahead.
I'll see you before you leave, Britt.
No, sure. I'll wait around till the doc finishes up.
Nice of you to ride out to Dr. Early, Mr. Ponsett. Imagine he appreciates having the company.
Well, it wasn't his idea, Mr. Quincy.
Oh?
Cal asked him to bring me along.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon that makes us even. Whereabouts is he, anyway?
Calvin? I don't know. He hasn't been here all evening.
He wasn't around when the shooting took place.
It was not a shooting, Mr. Ponsett. It was an accident.
Well, whatever it was.
And Calvin was not here. I met up with him while I was riding into town to get the doctor, and he offered to save me the trip.
Oh, I guess I was under the impression you said Cora didn't need a doctor.
She doesn't. But at first, I didn't know how serious the wound might be. Then, when I got back to the house, I saw it didn't amount to anything.
Uh-huh.
And by the time you and Dr. Early showed up, I'd forgotten the whole thing. That's why I was surprised to see you. For a moment, I couldn't think what you wanted.
Your gun just happened to go off, huh?
I was going to clean it. I thought it was empty. I guess I don't know too much about firearms.
What make do you carry?
He
doesn't carry any make, but I do.
I hadn't seen Cal come into the front hall, so I didn't know how long he'd been standing there. He was holding a .45, using it to cover his stepfather. The gun wasn't moving either. Cal's hand was as steady as his eyes. Steady and cold and determined. It wasn't the first time I'd seen a man with a look like that on his face. Now, not a killer's look exactly, at least not the look of somebody who wants to kill. More like somebody who hasn't got any choice.
I was wondering how you'd lie out of it, Quincy. The kind of story you'd tell. You weren't very convincing either, considering all the practice you've had.
Calvin, listen to me. I know how you feel.
You haven't got the slightest notion how I feel.
If you did, you'd have left town like I told you a couple of hours ago.
Now, take it easy, Cal.
I gave him warning, Britt. I gave him fair warning. I said I'd kill him if he didn't get out and stay out for good.
I don't know what it is he's got against me, Mr. Ponsett. I suppose I don't measure up to his father.
Measure up to him? I ought to kill you for even comparing yourself. Well, are you going or not, Quincy? Because if you're not, this time Ma ain't here to get in the way.
Was that what happened before? Is that how she got shot up?
It was his fault. He's got her so mixed up, she doesn't see anything straight. She thinks he's fond of her, the way she is of him. When she saw the gun, she ran forward, yelling and screaming. The way she grabbed my hand, that's what made it go off. I never meant to fire. Least of all, I never meant to hit Ma.
But your Ma's all right, Calvin. The bullet hardly touched her.
I don't believe... Is that true, Mr. Punch?
That's right, Cal. Car's fine. Doc Early's in there now, just making certain.
All right, Quincy. Start moving before she comes back.
Now, hold on. Hold on there now. This isn't any way to settle things. He's your mother's husband. She's got a right to know what's going on.
You think I want her to know what a liar he is? That he never cared for? You think I want to break her heart?
Well, what are you talking about, Calvin? I never lied to Cora. Never in my life.
And where's that big ranch you're supposed to own and all the money you're supposed to have?
What?
Tell Mr. Ponsett about your holdings. He's been to Elk Point. And there ain't no Quincy Ranch.
Oh, you're not making any sense, Calvin.
I ain't going to stand around here arguing.
Put that away, Cal.
Not until he leaves. He gives me his word he won't be back. And if he don't keep his word...
Cal?
You don't figure in this, Mr. Ponsett.
You got me out here. It was my idea.
Well, nobody's keeping.
This bandage isn't on my gun hand, Cal.
He's got you fooled into being on his side, too.
I didn't say that.
Look, ain't there nobody that sees him for what he really is? All he's trying to do is to get his hands on what my father left. Dad worked hard. All his life he worked hard. And when he was dying, he told me to look after Ma. Told me it was my job. Well, I'm going to do my job, Mr. Ponson. And nobody's...
Calvin, you made enough trouble for one night.
I'm sorry, Ma. Didn't want you to be here. Didn't want you to find out.
Found out what? My son's turned into a lunatic?
I'm only doing it for you, Ma.
For me? You think you're helping me by carrying on like this? I've got my own life to live, Calvin. You've got to let me live it as I see best.
Ma, he's no good. I was trying to get him to leave before Sheriff Jay comes back from Roswell, before the whole thing came out. Well, I guess it's too late now. I guess you'll have to know.
Know what?
He hasn't got a ranch. He ain't got any money.
Oh.
If you don't believe me, ask Britt Ponsett. He only married you because of what Pa left you.
Now, all I said that I didn't know of any Quincy Ranch near Elk Point. That's all I said. I haven't been around there for a couple of years. Maybe by now.
Well, there ain't no such ranch now either. Is there, Quincy?
Well, no, of course not.
There you see, Ma.
Calvin, listen to me.
He's admitting it, Ma. Why don't you face facts? Everybody else has been on to him. Everybody but you.
It's all my fault. I should have told you in the first place. I know that Oliver isn't rich. I never thought he was.
You never thought... Ma?
Well, maybe Doc and I'd better get
no.
Busy, huh?
No, I'd like you to stay, Britt. Calvin is right about one thing, though. I've been making a fool of myself. What's worse, I've been making a fool of Oliver, too.
Now, Cora.
You see, Calvin, I've known Oliver for a long time. Your father and I, well, we were all friends back in Kansas. All three of us. Of course, that was before I married your dad.
You've known each other all these years?
Once, Oliver asked me to marry him. But I chose your father. And I've never been sorry I made that choice. I guess you know that, Ollie.
Well, sure, Cora.
But after Ned died, well, it was like part of me had died, too. And I felt all hollow and useless, lonesome. Not a very romantic way of putting it. Lonesome, but that's how I felt. Like I couldn't go on by myself. Oh, you did your best, son, to keep me from thinking about your father and about myself. But it wasn't enough. And I kept remembering what your father said when he first took sick and He knew he wasn't going to get well. He said he'd take it as a compliment if I was to marry again. That it would mean our marriage had been a good one. But more than that, I think he knew I wasn't the kind to live alone. So I wrote to Oliver, asked him to come out to Petersville just for a visit. And then, well, us getting married was my idea.
Your idea, Cora?
Ollie was afraid of what folks would think. Me having this ranch and him not worth very much. He's afraid they'd get the idea he was marrying me because of my money. So I told everybody that he had a ranch of his own, even bigger than mine.
Why, Cora?
Oh, I was just trying to make it easier on him, Britt, so he wouldn't be embarrassed, uncomfortable. Of course, Oliver didn't know what I was up to.
You shouldn't have done it, Cora.
I'm sorry, Ollie. But I'm not sorry I married you.
Oh, my.
You've got to understand, Calvin. It's true. I'm an old lady and a foolish one. And it's true I don't feel the same way toward Oliver that I felt toward your father. You only feel that once in a lifetime. And some folks aren't even that lucky. But it's better for me not to be alone the time that's left. I think it's better for Oliver, too.
You should have told me, Ma.
Yes, I see that now. But I wasn't sure how you'd take it. Too bad you were dragged into this, Britt. You and Doc, but I wanted you to hear it all before you left.
Sure, Cora.
You knew Ned. You were a good friend of his. He thought a lot of you.
Oh, I sure hope so.
What would he think? How would he feel about my marrying again?
Oh, it's pretty hard to speak for somebody else, Cora. But Ned loved you. That was plain to everybody. So I guess he'd want you to be happy and content. That's what Ned would want.
Thanks, Britt.
Well, Doc, hey, it's about time we're getting back to town, isn't it? After that, I guess Cal and Oliver started hitting it off real well. Anyway, the last time I was through Petersville, folks were all talking about how much Oliver Quincy had done for the Plummer Ranch. Practically doubled the size of the herd, and now he was building a house down on the south pasture for Cal to live in when he got married. As for Sheriff Jay's story about Oliver not owning any property around Elk Point, well, the people just wouldn't believe that, that's all. The sheriff just hadn't done enough checking, that's all. Man like Oliver Quincy, why, he just had to be rich. He was written all over it.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Revue Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg and Gene Tatum, Robert Griffin, Parley Bear, and Bert Holland. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney. Hear Margaret O'Brien in the NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.